So let's get into my favorite thing today, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God just changes our life in such amazing ways, and I believe God's going to do that in this place and in your heart today. Those of you online, I believe God's going to touch you right where you are, and we're so excited by that. And those online, if you want to get involved in some of these things that we've just announced and you're able to do that, please let us know. Fill out one of those online comment cards or just, you know, somehow get in touch with us so that we can put you in a place where you need to be so that you can help us in what we're doing in our community. And so I want to speak a message today called We Are One. But the word one is spelled W-O-N. We are one. And I know that might not make a whole lot of sense, but as we get into this message and as we get into the word, you're going to see that it makes a lot of sense today in what I'm trying to say and what I believe that God is trying to bring to our church. So, we are one. We've been talking about being full of the Spirit and a life being changed. Amen? When you're full of the Spirit, your life is changed. That's the only way that it can go. And we've been spending the last few weeks looking at the conversion of Saul and the change that experiencing that fullness of the Holy Spirit in his life brought about to who he was and what he did and to the people that he ministered to. And as we look at his life and the way that he lived, we've been also looking at the life of the New Testament church. Because Saul, who becomes Paul, Saul's conversion, or Paul's conversion, I'm going to get those names mixed up today. You know who I'm talking about. His conversion moved the church into a new dynamic in so many ways because God used Saul as Paul to touch the New Testament church, to see the New Testament church grow, to see the New Testament church multiplied, to see the New Testament church empowered. Paul became that person. He was just an unbelievable, we'll talk about this later, he was just an unbelievable gift to the body of Christ. You see, this is the neat thing, church, and this is why we keep bringing this up. This is the neat thing about people who are full of the Spirit. They are marked by and gifted by the powerful presence of God's Holy Spirit. And then, because they are the church, we know this building is not the church. These chairs aren't the church. The reason why the church is here today is because you are here. And so because these people are the church, these Holy Spirit-filled people, then also the church is marked in the same way. The church is marked by the power of God. The church is marked by the unity of the Holy Spirit and by what Jesus is doing in the church through the Holy Spirit. So Saul was really God's gift to the church. Now, when we look around this building today, and feel free to do that, we see that there are so many gifts that God gives to the church. And you would be right if you took your finger and pointed it back at yourself and said, hey, you're a gift. Now, don't get all puffed up and prideful about that, but I want you to know that every one of you are a gift to this church. And this pastor is very excited about you being a part of our church and bringing that gift to the church in what we can say and what we can do in our community. We are all gifts to the church through what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church. I hope that makes sense this morning. And we've been talking about this church. That's what we're focusing on. This church that is full of the Spirit. And our theme scripture for the year is Acts 6:3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It is a church where powerful and meaning ministry is taking place. That's what we see there in Acts. They were looking for powerful and meaning ministry to take place. So, seek out men who are full of the Spirit. It is a church that is busy doing the business of the kingdom of God. It is a church that is having a powerful effect on the kingdom they're living in. So we have the power of the kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit to affect the kingdom that we are living in. It's a church with a clear understanding of God's word. It's a church that understands the working of God's word and knows how to put it into effect in their lives and in the world. In that church, as I've already said, there are people full of the Spirit. They are being kept from the world. By the Holy Spirit. They are being kept from themselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anybody need to be kept from themselves? There's times when myself is destructive. There's times when myself is selfish. There's times when myself doesn't do what it knows to do. So yes, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep me from myself. They are delivered, these people are, from the attacks of the enemy by the Holy Spirit. And they are sustained in the world that they live in. This is why the church needs the Holy Spirit today. because we are living in a world that is messed up and is violent and is evil because it's leaning towards the things of Satan. It's leaning towards the things of sin and rebelliousness in every way. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit because we need to be kept and sustained in this world by His power. And then we looked at the Apostle Paul, or Saul as we know him, right now where we are in this scripture, right? How the Spirit of God arrested him, how the Spirit of God gave him spiritual sight, and how that changed his life to see things in the Word that he had never seen or experienced before, to know things that he had not understood, even though he was a student, a longtime student of the Word, and a teacher of the Word. It changed his life. And we likened what Saul went through to this church, to our church. It is a church and a people with a spiritual vision. Saul had a new spiritual vision. I'm praying that we get a new spiritual vision here at this church. It's a church with a spiritual capacity to see what God sees. And with that comes a clarity about the world and the times that we are living in, that we can watch the news, though we may not want to, and I wouldn't even advise it, but we can watch the news and know, okay, I get this. This is what's happening. This is what the Bible says about it. Why? Because I've got a clarity. The Holy Spirit has spoken it into my heart. I understand the times that I'm living in. It doesn't mean you'll know everything, but you'll know enough, right, to understand that God is moving in this time. We'll understand who is working against us, what is coming against us, how it's coming against us, and we'll understand better, praise God for this, we'll understand what God truly created us for. Can anybody say amen? These are all messages that I've spoken in the past. You can find these online. And then last week, we looked at how that changed the word that Saul spoke. See, Saul knew the law of the word. He never knew the spirit of grace of the word, the spirit of the word. Now, with spiritual eyes open, he grasps the in-depth meaning of what God's word was all about. And now he begins to teach that. And now he begins to preach that. That this one, Saul, who was so against Christ and his followers, is now speaking in the synagogue about Jesus being the Son of God and how He works in our lives. And just like the word that Saul began to preach, I said last week, the church that is full of the Spirit is called to speak the same. Here it is. Here's the things we're called to speak. A word that proves who Jesus really is. A word that understands that He is the Son of God, that He is the healer, that He is God, and He will do what He said He would do. We said that it's a word that proves what the world really isn't. It proves who Jesus really is, and it proves that the world really isn't the way to go. It really isn't, its enticements really aren't pleasing or satisfying. And so we see that the world really isn't these things, and that is anything that's compared to our Savior. The world always seems to win in many cases, but once we get a Holy Spirit view of what God's Word is and what God does, then really this world begins to lose its appeal to our lives, and we begin to follow Christ in a stronger way. And we said that it's a word that leads the people through things that only God can know. There are things about your life that only God knows. There are things that you're struggling with, and you're saying, God, if I just, God knows those things. He understands those things. And so if you'll trust Him, and you'll preach that word, and you'll live that word, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to find God in the midst of everything that you're going through, and it's going to be okay. That's the word we need in the church. That's it, abundant living, family, that's it. That's the word we need in the church. We need the Spirit-filled word, we need the God-breathed word, and we need the living word. And that's what this Bible is all about. So let's pick up the story today then and go a little bit further from where we've read up to. And now we are in Acts chapter 9, still chapter 9 of Acts, and we're looking at verses 26 to 31. Lord, bless your word today to all of our hearts and let us hear what you are speaking. Verse 26, Acts 9, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, praise God for Barnabas, took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them, Barnabas did, how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, maybe Paul spoke some of those things too, but I believe in that it's Barnabas trying to explain to them, hey, let me tell you about this guy. He's okay. He's one of us. Okay? Or maybe he says, Paul, Saul, you tell them. Whatever the case is, they hear the story. So he was with them, verse 28, he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Praise God. So let's talk about Saul in Jerusalem, because this is a different picture than the Saul that we see in Damascus. Saul does not receive the warm welcome in Jerusalem that he had known in Damascus. Well, really, let's face it, he really hadn't received a warm welcome in Damascus had it not been for Ananias being so bold to follow what the Lord said to do and lay hands on him. Paul probably wouldn't have been taken into the discipleship into the church there as well, but he is. And so he comes to Jerusalem and they don't want nothing to do with him. You see, the disciples in Damascus were only a day or two away from what Paul had gone through, so they knew about it. The disciples in Jerusalem had not known the story. All they knew is the Saul that they had sent away from him. They knew the one who left him. And actually, when he left Jerusalem, they were probably pretty happy that he left, because they knew what he wanted to do. Because it would mean if he was going after other believers, and I don't think they were happy about any believers being sought up or imprisoned or beat or killed or anything like that. But guess what? He was leaving them alone. Amen? Sometimes some of us are just so happy the devil's leaving us alone. Ah, pick on so-and-so, but leave me alone. You know, listen, he's an equal opportunity attacker. So don't be rejoicing that he's picking on somebody else, because he's going to come back after you at some point or the other. And so remember, Saul is leaving them to go persecute other brothers and sisters, and now here he comes. He's coming back. And you know what's going through their hearts? Dread, fear. They know the paper that he's been given. They know what he went on this mission for, and here he comes back. And now, not only is he coming back, but now he says, now he has sent message or somehow let them know that, hey, I want to come and spend some time with you. I want to speak in your weekly meetings at the synagogue. And you know what they're saying? No way. There's no way we're going to let this happen. Fear. Listen, church. Fear and the unknown will always bring division into the church. Here was, I think, one of the greatest ministers that God had raised up at this time to the church. And they were refusing to let him in their doors. Why? Because of division. They were fearful. They were scared. They knew the stories. They had heard the horrible things that he had done. You see, the enemy is always out to bring division to our gatherings. Always. And so this is why we need to be careful. We talked about this in our men's group on Tuesday night. This is why we need to be careful of offenses and those things that try to separate us. And it's not about, hey, well, I got my feelings hurt, or hey, they shouldn't have said this, or that shouldn't have been done. I get that. None of us like to be hurt. None of us like to be talked about. None of us like, and it shouldn't be that way. But even if those things do happen, we are not going to allow the enemy to separate what God is doing in our place. Amen? Praise God. And that's what we need. But the Holy Spirit, the enemy is here to divide us. The Holy Spirit is here to empower us and to unify us. So, the church that is full of the Spirit is unified by the Holy Spirit. The church that is full of the Holy Spirit is unified by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for a disciple, for a man of God who was full of the Spirit, whose name was Barnabas. Barnabas didn't go by what he heard. Barnabas didn't go by the horrible stories that maybe came out, but Barnabas went by what the Holy Spirit had revealed to him. Barnabas may have even been there during Saul's conversion. We don't know the whole thing, but anyway, Barnabas gets a hold of what's going on. I believe that it's probably more spiritual, born of the Spirit, than it is by what Barnabas had seen. No matter what, God works all of those things together. He knew the changes that had taken place in Saul's life. He knew that the church would be safe with Saul in their midst. He knew that God had done a complete work in his life. He knew that Saul's coming to the church in Jerusalem was good and that the church needed it. So he introduces Brother Saul, who would become Brother Paul, to the church. And he assures them, hey guys, this is the real deal. This has happened. This is okay. He's not going to throw you in prison. He's not going to beat you. He's not going to persecute you. This is okay. At the word of Barnabas, the church opens their arms to this changed man. And the work of the Holy Spirit begins to work through Saul, through Paul, into the life of the church. And again, just as in Damascus, his life is threatened, this time by the Hellenists. And again, the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit provides safe refuge, provides safe travel for him, gets him out of danger. And so now he's traveling around and going from synagogue to synagogue, from disciple, from group of disciple to groups of disciple. And Saul is traveling from church to church, speaking and encouraging and uniting the body of Christ. There's three things that the Holy Spirit unites us in. I want you to listen to these because we want these things in this place. Number one, we are united in our calling. Hallelujah. The church needs to be united in her calling. Verse 28 tells us that he was with them in going in and their going out. Do you see that? He was with them. That word with them doesn't mean he was just in their midst. It means he became one of them. It means they accepted him. It means that they opened their arms to him and they fellowshiped with him. They allowed him in. He became one of them. This is important. As vicious as Saul had been to the church, and even though there was still a little trepidation in their hearts, listen, Saul becomes one of them. They opened their lives. They opened their ministry. They opened their hearts up to what God is going to use this man to do in their lives. He is counted in their numbers. He is counted in their fellowship, and he is counted in their gatherings. He is one of the body. Can I tell you that the church needs this today? The church needs this today. I'm not talking about just our church. We do have a great family here, and we've got a great mentality about being family. Now, we're not perfect, and we've got some ways to go and some things we have to work on, but every church needs this today because we are so divided from building to building, from this church to the church in Hamilton or to the church in Vineland. There's division. And I'm not talking about distance. I'm talking about in a lot of different things. We're divided from denomination to denomination. Brother Dan Kitch and I were talking about this on Wednesday. We had lunch together. Here's what happens. Rather than do what the Lord has called us to do, the enemy has us arguing with one another over things that aren't essential. Well, do you speak in tongues? We don't. Do you believe once saved, always saved? We don't. How do you interpret this verse? What do you think this verse is saying? What do you think John's saying here? What do you think Jesus meant here? And we're dividing ourselves. We're allowing the enemy to divide ourselves. And in all of these discussions that we're having, and all of these arguments, and all of these things that we'll never agree on this earth, we'll agree about it in heaven, that's for sure. God will work it all out. But in all of these discussions, we forget that the church is only here. Every church, Abundant Living, every church is only here to do one thing, to win the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? We aren't here to do anything else. And everything that we do should lead men and women to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do should lead children to Jesus Christ. Everything that we do should speak Jesus Christ to our community. And I can tell you this, church, it would happen so much quicker if we did it together. Instead of struggling and trying to outdo one another and trying to, oh, well, that church does this, so let's do this. Or that church is doing this, so, hey, let's do a little bit. No. If we would just say, hey, you guys are good at this. God's gifted us here. Let's come together and let's do this thing. It would happen so much quicker. The ministry, the harvest would be brought in so much easier. You see, we are called to be one. O-N-E, not W-O-N. We're not there yet. We're called to be one. We are called to be Jesus' hands outstretched. We are called to be the ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven on this earth. We are called to be his body. Listen, his whole body on this earth. And the body of Christ is so fragmented. We have the hand, left hand here. We have the right hand down the street, but they won't work together. We've got the right foot down there, and we've got the left foot over here, but they won't walk together. We've got this nostril there, this nostril here, but they won't make they won't get the pleasant smell of the Holy Spirit together. And so we're divided, and Satan's having a field day with the church. I'm going to tell you what, I believe in these end days, that's going to quit. It's going to stop. God's going to begin to call us together. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to begin to call us together. We are one body, listen, because we are one family. And that's my second thought in united. We are united in sonship. Amen. And ladies, we are united in your daughtership. However, let's not get the genders all mixed up here, okay? When we're talking about Jesus, all of those things aren't even talked about. We are the children of God. And so family is important. We as believers are all one family. The Baptist, the Pentecostals, if there's charismatic Catholics, if there's Messianic Jews, anybody who believes and professes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we are one family. And family is important. Have you not figured that out? In some situations, family may be all that we have. Do you know? If for some of you, this family is the only family you have. Your family has turned away from you. Your family has doesn't exist. People have died off or whatever the case may be. They're not talking to one another. Family is important. Just think about where Saul was at this very moment in his life. His conversion to following Jesus Christ ended his relationship with those he had known and those he had rubbed shoulders with and those that he had even gone to synagogue with, right? That's ended. Because now Saul's no longer going after the Christians. Now he's one of them. Oh boy, we can't allow Saul into our monthly meetings. We can't allow him into the club anymore. And so he's left all of that to be a part of those that are following Jesus Christ. And so now the family to which he had been adopted into, those of the saved, those of Christianity, those of following Christ, listen, they would not accept him at first. And so now Saul's out of this group, and this group won't let him in. In many ways, Saul was very much alone. And I bring that point up because I believe that there are people sitting in churches all over this country, all over this world today, and they feel the same way. They just want to belong. They want to be a part. They have left the lifestyle of the world to pursue a life with Jesus Christ, and yet they do not feel a part of the family of Christ. And there are so many reasons for that. There are some reasons on their part. Many of the reasons are on the part of the church. Many times churches just aren't as welcoming as they should be. I've been in some of those places. Man, you could sit the whole service and not a person will even say hi to you. Sometimes our problem is you sit in our service and everybody just wants to hug you. But many times the church isn't as welcoming as it should be. Many times the church is too selective. They want a certain group of people, or they can be very cliquish. We forget that none of us, listen to me church, none of us really belong here. There aren't any one of us here today that have earned to be a part of the body of Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? None of us have done anything to earn a place in this church, in the body. I'm not talking about just this church. I mean the church of Christ. Listen, the only bragging right that we have, and Paul says this. He says, I have a lot that I could brag about. I have a lot that I could boast in. But after his conversion, you know what he says? I can only boast in one thing. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified, the cross of Christ. None of us have anything to do with where we are at today in Jesus. It was all because Jesus did it, and we owe it all to him. Amen? And because he has accepted each of us, listen, we need to accept one another. And so here's what I want to say today. If you're sitting in this church, this small gathering, and you don't know someone in this place this morning, the first thing that you have to do after this message, the first thing that you have to do before you leave this place and we say the last prayer, is you need to get out of your seat, go over and introduce yourself to that person and begin to get to know them, begin to accept them into the family of God, because we don't know what God wants to do through them in this place. Get to know your brother, get to know your sister. This is what the Holy Spirit has come to do. We are family. Amen? Thirdly, the Holy Spirit unites us in our worship. Worship is our pathway into the presence of God. Now, you can worship alone, and you can come into the presence of God alone. I've done that in my room. I've done that in my office. I've done it in my car. You can do that, but I want to tell you something. It is so much more enjoyable, and it is so much richer, and it is so much more powerful when we worship together. That's the importance of you being here on time to worship with us as we sing these songs and lift our voices and lift our hearts to worship the King of Kings. Listen to me today. There are many churches where corporate worship never takes place, and they sing songs, and they have some of the greatest worship bands. And I'm not saying that nobody's singing. They're all singing. They see the words on the screen. They're singing, and they're even singing. The same words as what we sing. And all the people in the pews and the chairs are singing the same words. So they're together, but their hearts aren't in it. They don't even want to be there. They're distracted by life. They're distracted by technology. Oh, their phone beeped, or this happened. This is why, folks. Listen, I know that I'm never going to win everybody over with this, but I get that you have your Bible on your phone. I get that you have your Bible on your iPad. I get that. But man, bring a paper Bible to church with you. Why? Because it's not going to distract you. There's not a message that's going to pop up halfway through the teaching. There's not a disruption that's going to come on the screen. That, you know, it's the way to go. Because we're so disfocused. It's not even a word. They have their minds focused on what they're doing. If the pastor gets finished in time, I got to go. I got a family function. I've got this party. I've got that party. I've got to go shopping. I've got to do this. Everybody's so worried about this that's going to happen. And listen, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, church. He helps us get through those things. The Holy Spirit focuses us all on the same thing. He leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit keeps us from the distractions that are in our pockets, that are on our minds, that are online. The Holy Spirit changes our worship. He brings it to life. He empowers it. He brings new meaning to words that we previously have sung over and over and over again, and it just seemed like senseless repetition. All of a sudden, those words become something. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite song. I hated that song. It's my favorite song because it really speaks to who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing in me. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Our church needs the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in every area of our church today, brothers and sisters. Just look at verse 31 and how the church was gifted through their unity. So the church comes together. They accept Paul. He's with them, going in and going out. He's one of them. And these are the things that happens because of them accepting Paul and Paul's ministry through the Holy Spirit that God raised up within the life of these churches. And I want these things in our church today. I'm going to share these four things with you today in closing because I want these things in our church. Listen, they were peaceful. They were peaceful. There's not a lot of peace in our world today. You know what I think that means? I think that means that they lived together without strife between them. Think about it. If they could accept the one who had threatened their lives, and they could accept him into their midst, and they could accept him into their worship, they could accept anyone who walked into their building. I preach it. I try to live it. I don't always do my best because I'm still human, but I believe that anybody that walks into this church should be accepted. That we shouldn't have eyes that look at them and tell them, "Man, you don't belong here," or somehow they get an idea that we don't love them or don't care for them. I think there needs to be peace in our midst. They were edified, number two. They were built up in their faith. They were strengthened in their study of the word, amen. They were empowered through their prayers for one another. And the world would have to take notice that something powerful was happening in this group of believers. How many know we need this in the church today? We need a community that lives around us to know, wait a minute, there's something happening at that church. There's something happening so powerful that I think I need it. I need to go be prayed for. I need the Jesus that they know. I need the word that they're preaching. I need those things in my life. Praise God. They were edified. The world was edified. The community was edified. Thirdly, they were comforted. The Bible tells us that this is one of the primary jobs of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, the great comforter. The unity of the Holy Spirit brings comfort because, listen, there's comfort in numbers. Amen? When you're going through something, isn't it great to have friends around? Isn't it great to have brothers or sisters around? Isn't it great to have somebody go through that with you? Be there to comfort you? There's comfort in numbers. As the Holy Spirit unites the church, then that comfort is enhanced. That comfort is empowered. That comfort is spread throughout the body. Now, I'm not talking about being comfortable in our walk with the Lord. I don't want you to be comfortable in your walk with the Lord. But I'm talking about being comforted through our walk with the Lord. Right? David says in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the shadow, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because your rod and your word, they have comforted me. Amen. your people have comforted me. He doesn't say that, but I'm going to say that. You have comforted me as a pastor in this church with everything that this church has gone through. You have been a comfort to me to know that you're praying for me, that you're loving me, and that you're not being judgmental in the things that I'm saying and doing and trying to lead our church through. But follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said too. Amen. I've seen this in our own church body, that brothers and sisters who are going through something tough, they're loved and they're prayed for and they're encouraged by the relationships that they are in and the relationships that we have in this building, and something happens in their lives that gets them through it. I have felt this in some of the toughest times of my own life here at this church. And I'm so thankful for what God does in this place every time. Those brothers who have stood in the trenches with me, my sisters who pray for me and my wife every day. We need each other, church. We need each other. We need to comfort one another. I think of 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, talking about God, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What does that say? Comfort is shared. And when God has comforted you through something, you know what you need to do? You need to take that comfort and comfort somebody else because they need it too. And you know what happens when the Holy Spirit is doing all of these things in our church? Number 4, the church grows in numbers and power. The church grows, the church multiplies. If you saw the title of this message, it may have thrown you a little because it's really not good English. We are one, W-O-N. And it's a play on words that, yes, we are one in the Spirit, O-N-E. God has united us. The Holy Spirit unites us. This is what we're looking at in the message today. So we are one in the Spirit. But also, because we are one, because we are united, I think I've showed you proof from God's Word today that we are also victorious in the Holy Spirit, which means we've won. Amen? So we are one. We are one, which makes us winners. Or more appropriately, we have won because we are united. My church family, as I close, it is time that the Abundant Living Church grows in numbers and power. I think we have so much good happening here. And I think if we'll continue to invite people, Kim and I are seeing this, people are ready to start coming out. And things are happening. There's a lot to this building that we need to do, because when people come, they look and they judge. That's fine. I don't think we should be judged that way, but that's fine. And so we have a lot that we need to do to make this happen. But keep inviting. I believe it's time for us to become the body that God expects us to be, that God knew He was placing on this corner of Route 54 and Jackson Road. I believe that we should be a body that is united in our calling. Man, we're just one. God, give us the world. Hallelujah. Lord, don't let the enemy win. I'm praying for my loved ones. I'm praying for my sister. I'm praying for my brother. Lord, don't let the world win. A body that is united in our sonship. We understand we're a family. And you know, no matter what, we're not going to give up on that. Yeah, but they hurt me, Pastor. Well, this, I get that. But that happens in families. And families that stay together, the families that say, you know what? We're family and we're going to make it, and that's okay. We'll work through this. There are some families that don't work through it and they don't talk to one another. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor who does funerals and weddings, that's a very sad place to see families in. And then thirdly, we need to be a body that is united in our worship. That when we sing these songs and when we come together in our women's and men's groups and those other groups, that we worship the Lord as one. It's one voice. That's why I always tell you, let's sing as if there were 10,000 here today. Let's declare that we are one. And that just because there's 20 here or 50 here or 60 here, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're going to sing and rejoice and praise our God. Amen? Amen.